Hi, I'm Catherine.
And I'm Lynn, and we are A Coffee Break
with Cat and Mom. Welcome back to our podcast. Today is episode 17, and today we are talking about big moves. So my mom moved from Canada to Iowa, and then I moved from Iowa to Florida for college, and now we have completely moved our lives from Iowa to Florida, so we're also going to cover that. But I'm going to do a little interview for her about her move from Iowa to Canada, or from Canada to Iowa, because that is like a whole nother country, and she was younger, so like about my age when you moved.
Yep.
So exactly. That's going to be kind of our big segment. We always start with our little weekend review. Our lives haven't been that interesting this week. I've just been training. It's like week two of my triathlon training, and my whole body is mad at me. And then she's been painting, like, the whole place. Yeah.
Well, we're trying to sell this condo, and so I figured we needed to freshen it up because, well, the furniture is the furniture my parents had, so it's not our taste at all. But we have our own furniture in storage, and we can't really, like, swap, whatever. It's just not working. It's not the same size of place. But anyway, so I decided to paint the whole thing. And last week and I was still working out last week and I was still painting, and it's like old walls and whatnot. I mean, and so it's old paint. I had to press so hard.
And it's like wallpaper. So she's painting over wallpaper.
I had to learn how to paint over wallpaper, which is more than one step. And there's a lot of steps. And, so this week I decided that was going to be my workout, and it's been just tiring, and some of that base coat smell was terrible, and the smell was just, oh my gosh. So it's over with. It's done. So,
and now it's a beautiful day out. So after this, we're going to go to the beach, and then,
not to brag,
probably, but it's finally nice to go to the beach as well. So we're going to take this weekend to relax.
Yes.
Every episode we go to a coffee shop, we try their coffee to promote small businesses and promote the owners. We usually have it in front of us, but the past, like, I'd say 6 episodes, we've been going to the coffee shops and trying it, coming back and telling you guys the vibe of the coffee shop and what we thought of the coffee.
It's still our goal to do it live at the coffee shop.
Or, you know, someday have our own coffee shop.
Yes.
We have a lot of big dreams, like merch and stuff. We've had these ideas brainstormed for over, like, 6 months now. Yeah, we have our coffee break mugs that we always have for our episodes. So a lot of big dreams, but... Mm-hmm. We appreciate the small little viewers that we have every episode. But today we didn't go to a coffee shop. I have been experimenting with some coffee, and I thought for this episode we will review.
She's been bragging about this thing that I'm about to try.
Except I tried it already, and it doesn't taste as good as I usually make it. So
she's been bragging about it for a week. This is a new thing.
I've been making it for my boyfriend and I, and I got the new Nespresso. Well, it's not new, but it's an espresso golden espresso powder, pretty much.
I don't know.
I put warm water over it. I add some honey, cinnamon, cacao powder, mix that up, put some of the Chobani cinnamon coffee cake creamer, a little bit of milk, and you just mix that up.
Okay.
I haven't tried it, and I'm so glad
we have a little peanut straw.
Our straws were great to make it a little bit fun.
Look
at what I know I'm not a... If you're watching the video podcast, you'll see our penis straws.
Actually, one of our viewers here, Missy Hansen, I remember drinking out of these at a bachelorette party, which was
They glow in the dark.
Oh, my gosh.
Our penis straws glow.
To you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I taste a little bit of chocolate.
That was the cacao.
Okay.
It's not the best I made it.
It's not bad at all. It's a bit sweet for me. And you put less honey in mine. Give one more tip.
To make it a little bit healthier, I drizzle some honey instead of caramel.
It's actually pretty good. No, I like it. Like, no joke.
So,
especially since I woke up at 4:20 this morning for your sister's morning practice. Again, she swims at the Florida Atlantic University swimming pool, which is still 40 minutes away from here. Well, actually, in the morning, it's 38 minutes. So she has to be there by like on pool deck at 5:30. So we leave, we wake up at about, I wake up at 4:20. I wake her up at 4:30, and then we leave a little bit before 4:45. So we're just right on time. There's no traffic in the morning. I like to do this sometime because it gives them the rest of the day off. Clearly she could do two practices, but I don't want to drive this twice a day. But so this coffee is going to.
Yeah. I'm a coffee chugger. I don't know if you guys are.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Coffee what? Chuggers. Well, I've been sipping on it since before. Okay. I've already tried my coffee, but today the coffee we're promoting is me. And today the coffee we're promoting is me and myself. We normally promote actual coffee shops. I just wanted her to try my coffee.
It could be like, it could be, this you guys, we all need to remember this. This could be like the coffee that we open our coffee shop with.
The Catherine Espresso. And we will give a compliment
with our stuff.
Yeah, we'll give a complimentary penis straw with every cup of coffee. So I decided that we're going to throw in a segment. And every episode now, I am going to update my mom on some celebrity thing that's going on in the world because
I hope I know the celebrity.
I think it just honestly, I'm not a big fan of celebrity drama or like giving them a platform if they don't really deserve it. But, you know, sometimes it's kind of like entertaining and like almost comical to like see like the dumb shit they do. Yes. I am not all that informed on. In the future, I'll be a little bit more informed on like the topic.
She's just trying this
Twitter.
Like outside of
yeah,
the blue right
I just
now. I didn't
was,
even
like,
know
good
either.
Idea. And I thought I'd bring up the Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni, and the Ryan Reynolds situation. She already knows a little bit about it.
A little bit.
I honestly don't really know what's going on. Like, there's so much stuff happening. He, a voicemail message came out that he sent to Blake Lively because there's like a $400 million lawsuit that's going to be against him and, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, and apparently that's her like net worth combined.
I did not know he was involved with this. I like Ryan Reynolds. I mean, of course, he's a fellow Canadian, but I don't know.
I don't know if I like him anymore.
Okay, I like him as an actor. I mean, he's freaking hilarious.
What I've been hearing is that Blake Lively, I think, might have caught some feelings for Justin Baldoni while on set, and there's a clip of them acting, and Justin Baldoni says cut. And she's like super into it. Now I don't know all like the deets. And
I heard that the movie. I mean, you said
the movie was terrible
because you
in
really
my opinion.
Loved the book, and it did not really represent. The
I'm
book.
Not,
I mean, you didn't love the book, but you liked the book better, which usually like books are always in more details. But it didn't really reflect.
Yeah.
The idea of the book.
No, not at all. Blake Lively's outfits were literally atrocious. She wore like boxers and two pairs of jeans and try to make it look like a layered look, and it was just terrible. And then the camouflage jacket, oh my gosh. But
well, I don't know, I didn't
it was just really bad. It was just bad, and they need to redo it completely. We just need a redo. And then it just is coming out that Blake Lively isn't the nicest celebrity either.
Well, it kind of started, I think, if I remember, you told me about this was what it was. Like, she was not nice. So if I have to kind of figure out what was going on here, she was not nice to somebody that was interviewing her. And then it was the opposite. Then it came out that he was
sexually assaulting
her and then other people. And then all of a sudden, like the videos, which I caught one.
Yeah.
Because I don't follow these things. I caught one. It was on my feed. And he was just, you could tell, it's like, it says cut. And he turned around and there was a lot of people on set. And he was like visibly irritated. And so were the other people working. So it was just, I was like, oh my gosh. And then all of a sudden, like the whole thing switched again. And then so it's when you wait at the grocery store to check out and you see all these. So it was like one time, like on the People's Magazine, like, oh, poor her. Then, oh crap, poor him. Oh, poor her. Not
I know
poor
it's going
him.
Back and forth.
Like every week is something different on the Facebook magazine.
But then it's coming out that like she, like her and Ryan Reynolds, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, like, came up with a kind of the scheme to like defamation. Like that's why they're getting a lawsuit against.
Okay.
Well, yeah. And I don't know, because Ryan Reynolds might have been pissed that Blake Lively was falling in love with Justin Baldoni. Who knows?
I don't know. But he's still a great actor. I don't know Jason Baldoni.
I don't know.
I've ever seen him in any movies.
Well, I like him better than Ryan Reynolds now. It seems like Ryan Reynolds is.
He's a great
seems
actor.
Seems like he's
Stop
a piece
it.
Of shit from all this. All right.
Okay.
I don't agree with that. But I just, for some reason, I just don't like it. I get a really bad feeling about him after all this, but I guess we'll see what comes out of this.
You never know.
I don't really, I'm not that informed about it, but I thought that, I think every episode would be fun to inform my mom, who's kind of out of the loop about this stuff. About this dumb drama, because it's dumb. It's,
I remember going, when I was younger, going to what, hair salon, doctor's appointment, whatever. That's when I would just like get all my celebrity, you know, scoops, you know, reading people's magazines, whatever. I never like order them, but you know, like you would, or if I had friends that would get them at their house, I would go to the house and then read it. But then it just got, you know, you have kids and whatnot. Anyways, I kind of got out of the loop. And if I swear, if I have one in front of me today, probably half the people, I would not even know who the heck they are. Or I don't know their names, but I would know, like, oh yeah, she was in that movie or whatever, you know, and I just still don't know their names, but I would probably be like, who the heck are we talking about and stuff? And and it's all gossip. So,
well, yeah,
but I mean, this is very publicly, I think, because if I seen it, you know, it's something going on pretty badly, but.
You guys know I'm a huge like fan of Emma Chamberlain. She actually made an episode about how like celebrities are out, like for 2025, like, we're just not going to be giving them the platform that they used to have. Like, we need to stop giving into this dumb gossip, because it's just like, it's just so ridiculous, and it's actually like comedy at this point.
Well, it's like Rick Gervais. I think that's how you say it in English. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say it properly, but I think it was his last, or one of his last, but maybe it was his last Golden Globe that he was hosting, because he said that like multiple years in a row, and he was saying like, if you come up here and you get your little award. And you said you thank your God and you thank your family and your agent and stuff. He said there's no point of view to start talking like on a political statue or whatever what your you know opinion on this and this and this. Like, you have no idea what the real world is, and it's kind of true. And he's also a comedian.
Because a lot of them are born into fame, so they understand like the like actually being impact. I mean, maybe this is kind of like not true. I don't know. I haven't been like a multi-millionaire celebrity, but
that, you're in
they're
movies.
Not, they don't feel like the economic impact of being like low middle or like class. Even like high middle class. Like, they don't understand.
But they're impact. In movies all the time, and it has to be hard. I mean, I feel for them in a sense, of course they have a very nice paycheck, but to play somebody else all the time and in movie after movie, like, how do you, there's some actors that, you know, unfortunately committed suicide because they were all totally into
method acting.
Yeah.
Method like, acting can be so,
you're totally into it. Yeah. Life. Or like marriages breaking up and this and that. I mean, it's terrible in a sense, but yeah, they don't, I don't think they have the same sense of reality that we have here. You know,
it's just totally different, but I will say that some of the drama can be dumb,
but it's entertaining.
It is entertaining. That's why we have this segment every episode, because so we are kind of giving them a platform. Now we are going to go into our main segment, which is about big moves. We've done quite a few big moves, starting with hers when I was not alive. She moved from Canada to Iowa, and I thought I could just ask her some questions about that, because some of you listening might have a big move coming up, or you guys are going through a big move. And it can be hard. There's ups and downs for sure, but it's still like a long process.
It is.
So if you wanted to give a little spiel about
when I moved,
just kind of like a summary of you moving, and then I can go to some questions.
Well, I moved to Iowa first. The reason why I wanted to become, in my mind, I wanted to become a doctor when I was younger. Well, first, no, originally was a lawyer. I wanted to be an attorney. I would have cried at every single session. But anyway, so that didn't happen. But I wanted to be a doctor. And in the province of Quebec, there's not many. I mean, now there's more. Maybe there's 2, 3, 4, maybe medical school. Maybe. There was, I think, just 2 when I was younger. And I knew it was going to be hard to get there. Even with people with like a 4.0 still don't get in right away. So anyways, I was a figure skater. I think you guys know that by now. And I had injured my knee. Seen so many doctors with my mom. I think it was doctor number 10. I think she told me that like many years ago, was a chiropractor that had graduated from Palmer College of Chiropractic, the birthplace of chiropractic in Davenport. And she, helped me out. He told me, like, you know, very honestly, he was not going to, he said, you might require surgery down the road. You know, we took x-rays, did all the tests, whatever. But he said, we can probably just kind of realigned you, you misaligned, blah, blah, explained to me what chiropractic was. And I was like, you know what, this is what I want to do. So he helped me in my career. I was able to continue skating for many years until I moved to Palmer and to Iowa. And so we had one school in Toronto, the School of Chiropractic in Toronto. And we had one that just opened in the province of Quebec. And it was, not that it was not a good school, it was. They, I think, did not have as many opportunity as, you know, what Palmer College was offering. And he was a Palmer grad. So he's like, how about I sponsor you in the sense that you have to have somebody to help you get in, writing you like recommendations. That's what I mean. Like they don't help you to get in per se. Plus tuitions with American money. And I don't know if you know anything about a Canadian and American money, but like, Canada's not doing so good, you know? So the exchange was absolutely horrible. My parents were helping me at that time. And went through the whole, I know it's different now, it's even harder to get in, but went through the whole process for being an international student, had to go in for interviews and this and that, and finally made it in. And so we moved and crossed the border on July 4th, which was not very well thought.
Oh gosh.
July 4th, 1996 is when I moved officially to the United States. And my parents, I was in the car with a friend moving my stuff in the car, and then they had my parents were with me, and they had taken one of my aunt's minivan, took all the seats out and had put as much stuff. I mean, we had bought a bunch of furniture for, like, you know, in the United States, but, and they helped me move.
Did you move into like a dorm or an apartment?
An apartment. There was no dorm at that time.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of apartment, but if you know anything about Davenport, Iowa, where the college is, I mean, they're trying to revamp the downtown, but where the college is, it is not, it's getting better. But it's still not the safest part of Davenport.
Yeah.
So we had been talking to, we had a Quebec club. So there's more than one French Canadian there. We were a pretty good club at that time. And they had told me where to go a little bit north of Brady Street.
Yeah.
So that's where we visited the weekend. I think it was a different weekend. We came down and visited and rented an apartment. And so. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a roommate? Or was it just you?
No, it was just me.
Oh, wow.
I did not want to have a roommate at that time. Well, I didn't know anybody. And I figured if I it was a 2-bedroom. So I figured that if I would meet somebody that I would have. But never did. So 1-bedroom was where I was studying. The other bedroom was my bedroom. 1-bathroom. It was a very nice little apartment. And it was mostly old people. So it was very quiet. So it was great.
Oh, that's nice.
Study. Yeah. It was very nice.
And then how did you get to class every day? Did you have like a bus?
I had a car.
Oh, you
because
car?
I drove my car down
there.
Okay. And my mom stayed for a week. She I had promised my parents and my family I was going to, like, on October 22nd, 1999, the day I graduated, I said, I'm going to move back to Canada. Like, I'm not staying here. First day of school, remember, met friends. That first day, first class, like, we are still friends. We were in each other's wedding. This is like, what are the odds? We were lost in the building and we didn't know where our classes were. So we met them. They were a couple. And I remember I came home because my mom stayed for a whole week. And I said, this is it. Like, this, I am not staying here. What in the world? I just can't wait for that date. And I'm moving back home. And she stayed a week, made a bunch of food, put it on my freezer. She to this day could tell you how much she cried when I dropped her off at the airport in Moline. Mm-hmm. And it was so little.
Such a small airport, yeah.
But it's nice now. It's actually modern. It was raggedy, whatever, anyways. And she cried so much that people on the plane were asking her if she was okay. Because she couldn't stop crying. And which I did the same thing when we moved your sister down for the first time in Jacksonville University. So I cried the whole way back up. I remember that. And you're like, oh, stop crying. And I just
couldn't. No, you did.
No. So she did. From my mom that day and, you know, different country.
Yeah.
So it was, So that was something.
And then I have some questions for her because moving can, I don't know, again, like I said, have its ups and downs. Mm-hmm. So how'd your parents feel about your decision? Like at first, when you first like brought the idea up to them?
They were pretty excited.
Yeah.
That, you know, that I made a decision. My brother had decided to not continue school and education. I mean, you know, he was university level as well, but he was working for the family business at that time or starting into it anyways. So my dad was very, very excited. So was my mom. They were very supportive. My parents were extremely supportive. I was very blessed that financially they could support me because it was, I mean, it's expensive today to know how much it costs. And it's probably the double in price, how much it is to graduate from that place. But no, they were, and there was, like I said, we had met everybody from the Quebec club, which we're all adults when we go there. So there's people that, like, from the age of 21 all the way to like 50, 60 years old that go to Palmer. So it, I mean, there's kids, like, we're kids, but there's still a good group of, you know,
adults. They're very mature
that, that could help you out. And I will say my biggest hurdle, and it took a good 6 months to get over it, was the language barrier. So I had taken advanced English classes and even slang classes in at the University of Montreal. So it was the University of Quebec in Montreal. That's the one I went to, and colleges and whatnot. But
slang?
Slang. Yeah, I didn't know what hold your horses meant.
Oh, you learned stuff like that?
Yeah, wow. So it, we had like one of the, it wasn't an exam, but there was like a bunch of expressions and then what you thought it was. Yeah. And we were people from all around. I mean, not just, there's people from France that were there. And then the answers made us laugh so much we all became friends and would go and have a beer and talk about our answers every time we had a class. But it's just like, I did my sixth grade in English. I mean, I knew the language and whatnot, but little do you know that when you get there and you're immersed in English, like, you realize you're still thinking in French and you're translating in your head and then you come up with your answer. Well, half the time the conversation was like 10 subjects later and I had made my reply from the first subject. So,
but did they, like, did the professors understand that some people were from different countries and like slowed down, or did they not care?
No, they did not care. And some of my, I mean, I remember my class renal was all about kidneys and whatnot. She was Indian and her accent was very thick. I had a hard time understanding. Just like one of your teachers you had last semester that was from
Asia. And there was just no understanding.
Yeah, I didn't understand anything. You made me listen to it as I didn't understand anything. And she was talking so very fast too, so you had to listen. But no, they didn't care. I mean, they were there to teach the, and some were really enthusiastic, like your teacher. And
yeah,
some
of them, it was so cute. You're so excited about the subject, but I was like, I can't understand
what you're saying. But some of them were just, they had been teaching it. That was my PNS, peripheral nervous system class. And he had Dr. Schmidal, which, bless his heart, I think he's passed away by now. He was already old when I was there, but he just knew his stuff so well. But he had everything already. Oh my gosh, it was the thing that a projector that you write on the paper and you just continue so you don't have to erase. He would bring his rolls. So it was the same class for God knows how many years. So it was just so repetitive, you know? And it was just like, oh my God, I'm just going to fall asleep. But at least he was talking slower, so it was easier. But that by then I was in like, it was my second year, so I was better. But I will say the first 6 months, first three for sure, headaches every night. Jeez. I mean, I cried myself to sleep, and then you have to study. And I'm going to be really honest. I've never been a good test taker in the very first place. But then again, doing it in a second language, that was such, I mean, till the day I graduated, it was something I struggled with.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was like, I'm studying the material. I'm going to take the test because I studied and I know what it says. But then it would take me maybe a month later, like it would just totally make sense. And then I could apply it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's why I didn't do good in the first test, because that's what, it, you know, but no, I mean, I went to see, you know, the teachers and stuff a lot. They understood. I mean, it's an international school. So a lot of students, I would say at least 50%, 40 to 50% are non-first language, you know, speaking English, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Were you 100% on your decision when you moved, or was it like a big back and forth?
I knew I was coming here to the United States. I mean, to Palmer, because that's, you know, I got accepted. I did try Atlanta, the Life College, but I knew Palmer was the number one school. So, I knew my decision was made. I had applied to another chiropractic college in Atlanta, Life Chiropractic College. And when I got accepted at Palmer, I just knew this is where I wanted to go. I will say my mom had told me after I graduated, a lot of people in my family had doubts that I was going to graduate. Oh, they said she was never going to finish. She's in another country, blah, blah, blah. She did tell me this. I will say not after I graduated. It was like in my last year of graduation when I was pretty much now done. I was doing clinic, you know, like we were doing our like internship, whatever, that you have to practice on real patients. That's when she told me this, and it kind of motivated even more to graduate and start my own office and say, you know what, like, suck it up. You're, you know what, I made it. So pretty good. First doctor in my family. Now there's another chiropractor, one of my cousin's son. We all also have pharmacists. My cousin is a pharmacist and stuff. So And I'm the first one that had moved to school. Okay, from people in Quebec, province of Quebec, like, we're very tight. Families stay together. Family stays in the same province. Yeah.
No, you know? It's a very big extended family. Everybody's friend, like, very close with their third mm-hmm. cousins, stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah, so it's like drivable distances, you know, like you can make it, or maybe a day max and you get somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I moved out of the country. And then one of my cousins, my cousin, Caroline, lives in France.
Yeah. So everybody.
So my aunt's like, it's all your fault. But shout out to them, her and Audrey, that traveled all around Europe and figured them, you know, what they liked and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was great. So the day I graduated and I had met your dad. And,
well, yeah, that was my next question. She actually ended up staying, and obviously she ended up staying in Iowa.
Because I'm still here.
Because I'm also here now. I'm born. where she met my dad. So did your parents kind of suspect that you were going to stay there? Or?
No, I think until they met him. Until they figured out that we were kind of moving in and whatnot. Your dad was knew what was going on with Palmer students. You know, from he was born and raised in Iowa, mm-hmm. so you've seen that. You know, like, we're all from different countries, and then, you know, we don't stay. And then so everybody gets their heart broken. I remember he was in my apartment. I said, well, if we don't try, we won't know. So you want to try and see if it works? And here we are. We moved in together. Yeah. I will say, I don't know about my dad, but I know my mom was heartbroken because she wanted me to come back home. She still kind of says past little comments once in a while, so if she's listening. So anyway, but
then you want to have your favorite granddaughter. So. It all worked out.
Okay, we're going to really have to tell her to watch this episode. But and then I had the opportunity we were starting a new Gold's Gym in Davenport, and I had the opportunity to open my practice in there. So kind of couldn't really pass that out. And it just all worked well, and I stayed there. But Iowa, for me, when I moved, it's very different now. Clearly, it's been 20-something years, but I thought it was like, I'm, you know, right outside of Montreal, big international city. Just imagine yourself living outside of like Chicago or New York, and then you're in rural Iowa.
Yeah. So it seemed like a very small town with nothing around, like lots of cornfields and
people going out in overalls. I mean, you know, it was something else. Yeah. We went to bars and, you know, nightclubs. Well, there was not that many, but let's say you have a choice of four or five.
What's that nightclub called in Davenport? It's like so dangerous to go to, though.
Oh, there were so many. Yeah. But, that did not exist when I was there. Like, our place to hang out was America's Pub downtown Davenport. So whoever from Davenport is listening to this, they will remember, this bar doesn't exist, but, Chantilly Lace. So that's where I met your dad. Dangerous place. Boozy's is still there. That's downtown Boozy's Davenport. Yeah. Boozy's still there. That's a huge Palmer hangout. But yeah, no, it was, I don't know where I'm going with this, but no, so that's, I stayed and it was great. And of course, like, you know,
did you kind of have like, were you like a little bit sad or upset with yourself ever that you didn't move back? Or
I did, not so much, like, not work wise. I was very happy where I was at and stuff, but I will say family wise, we're so tight. Yeah. I missed out on so many gathering and get to, and then but my family was always so nice, you know, to like, you know, when FaceTime came up or this or that, to just be, you know, live or sending me videos and this and that. But it was just, it still kind of breaks your heart because you're not, you're not there, you're missing out. But I have aunts and cousins that are so nice that would come and visit and all the time and surprise us. And of course, when
there was a time, was it my graduation when they all surprised? Yeah,
my aunts, they were all at the door, Caroline, and I just opened it. I didn't know. And my mom,
I didn't know either. I was like
such a good liar because she was just making food. I'm like, I think you're making too much food for dinner. She's like, you never know. Like, you know, Bryce, I think, was coming. Bryce might be hungry. It was the day before he graduated. Cheyenne was there. My niece was there. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm just saying that's way too much food. I don't even know if he eats salad. I mean, it was just like a whole
she opened the door and started screaming. And I was like, oh my God.
What? I was like, shut up really loud. Slammed the door. Reopened the door. And then they were there looking at me. So
that was really nice.
Yeah, my aunt and her daughters, like, I've done that trip many, many times. But, and then it got to a point, like, you know, like, her dad, so my, your dad and I divorced, and then he moved away too. And I was like, I mean, and you were in college and your sister were in college in Florida, and there was this condo here available that was not mine because my dad passed away. And
it's always been her dream to move, like, live in Florida.
That was yes, kind of before like I met your dad, yeah. I did an internship here with a doctor, a chiropractor, and I was like, "That's it. This is it." I've always said since mm-hmm. I was a teenager, I would not be the one, you know, leaving. Like my parents driving me to the airport and leave and go back to the coldness. I'd be the one driving my friends back, you know, to mm-hmm. the airport, and I will be staying here. And then, I don't know. I thought that was the right time, to do the move. And I mean, and now that was another move. So if you want to say like how difficult it is, if you start thinking about so many things in your life, your doctors, your like your car, your insurance, your dentist.
So you have great dentists and orthodontists in Iowa, and we're like, oh, we want to keep them. Our bank, we're still with our bank in Iowa
because I'm very good friends with our
storage
advisor
has
there.
Been a pain in the ass.
Yeah, storage is somewhere. I mean, it's so many things you don't think about. But I didn't think about this when I was a student because. I still had all my stuff in Canada, and then gradually, you know, and then getting married and whatnot, like it all kind of phased in very mm-hmm. slowly, but now moving here and having kids in school, I mean, you guys are in school, but your sister's younger, and then trying to put her in like middle school next year. And this and that's a whole different ballpark. And mm-hmm. one of my very good friend, Jody Stone, her husband worked for
John Deere
for many, many years. He was pretty high up, and they lived in Asia, for years.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like, I think she said like an 18-month situation, ended up being like 8 years or something of the sort. So she kind of helped me out. She can make a list and this and this. And I was like, that's the only thing that I will say that maybe took me a year to make my mind up of moving, because I just, you know, I had just restarted my life by myself. You know, going back to work, having a kid that's going to school, like it took a village and get it all organized. You moms watching, you'll know what I'm talking about. Getting her to play, you know, point A to point B. You were gone at that time and this and that. I mean, you were there at the beginning mm-hmm. when we moved and you helped out a lot. But, you know, I was like, okay, I'm in a comfortable place. I think I got this shit down. Like I got this schedule. I think we got this right and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, nope. Like, am I really happy here? I mean, I love all my friends, but... would my family come and visit in Iowa more than Florida?
Because, like, this is kind of a place that they do visit a lot.
Yeah.
It's Florida.
My niece has family down here. My cousins has family down here. So,
and we know the area because we've been coming to this. Well, she's been coming to this condo since you're 13.
Yep.
So it was nice to have, like, a familiar place here that we could, like, settle at until this place sells. And then we'll have to move again. But it's nice that, like, we have all the furniture, everything here. There's just some stuff that we needed to buy. The actual, like, packing and moving was a pain because...
that's going to be an episode when we
like,
move again.
Like, the actual, like, moving from the townhouse, when they packed everything up, it took, like, 6 hours longer than it was supposed to because there's
a
freaking
tornado
outside.
Tornado hit us,
Boxes were flying and...
they're like, we're fine. Close the garage door.
Came in for shelter because there was like lightning just constant, like the constant lightning that was in the sky.
It was terrible.
So that was a really interesting packing experience. But
I don't want to complain that we live here and it's great. I mean, you know,
it's
was passed down to me. I have, you know, it's just was like, here you go, here are the keys. Can't complain, and which is what helped me make the decision instead of paying rent or mortgage in Iowa and not really having any moving forward with my job or anything like that. Like I didn't see like a next step. So I figured like, you know, okay, let's just do this. My beautiful girls are all in Florida. I think your youngest sister is a beach bum big time. So I was like, you know what?
My sister moved from, I mean, I wish we could ever speak. She was the first one to move to Florida. For college, and that kind of inspired me. I was going to swim in Florida if you listened to the last episode, but I decided that I didn't want to swim in college and just enjoy Florida, and she inspired me to do that. So I went to FAU. Well, I still go to FAU.
Yeah.
South Florida, right by the beach, and that was a pretty pleasant moving experience for me because I was very excited. I did have a boyfriend of 2 years, so in another episode, we'll talk about long distance because that was like a struggle in itself, but we're still together. He lives here now. So one big happy family, but that was a good moving experience for me because I had my parents, like you had your parents help you move down. You pretty much set up the whole room for me. I had the prettiest like freshman dorm
Yes, you did. And well, you were the first one in your dorm too.
Yeah, so I got to pick my bed and pick the bigger side of the room. Sorry, Kaylee. And then I also had three amazing roommates, but I met them through the FAU Instagram page, mm-hmm. where you can kind of post a picture of yourself and then give a little description, and people can reach out. And I found these three girls who were looking for a fourth roommate. So I reached out, and that's who I ended up with. And we talked a lot throughout the summer. So that was nice that I already knew three girls. And then along with that, you kind of add everybody else on the Instagram page. So you start talking to other people. Else.
You make friends already before you get there.
And you didn't have social media, really.
We didn't even have phones. I mean, we had phones, but not everybody had a phone. I had a phone because first I had one from before I moved down, but my parents wanted me to have one because in case there's an emergency, I needed to be able to. So I think the phones were starting to be really popular, but it was it was the flip phone. So there's no social media whatsoever. And that's why I moved in by myself. And then, you meet your group of friends. And from the first, I would say, month or two, that same group of friends, we are still friends.
Yeah. No, I'm still in contact. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying this is 20, because, I'm going to age myself here, but we had our homecoming, Palmer College homecoming in August, and I just moved here, so I didn't go back. And I'm sad because I missed a lot of my, because it was our 25th year anniversary, our reunion. Unfortunately, we were about 220 something graduates the year I graduated.
Like 12 people show up.
I don't know. Maybe, on our group of friends, maybe there were 12, 13, maybe total there was 20 something. I'm like, we're missing 200. But a lot of them were from other countries.
Other countries.
It's a little bit different to come down. But I would say our closest friend, we still, minus two or three, even Greta from Norway or my friend Jolt from mm-hmm. Sweden, we still chat to each other. We all went to each other's wedding and whatnot. So that's why I was living by myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, and some of my friends eventually became roommates that I'm still friends with. And I was just okay by myself. And if one had like a beef with the other one, I had that extra room. So I always had somebody coming over anyway. So
I liked being so freshman year, we were in doubles. So I was in a room with Kaylee, my roommate Kaylee, and then the two other girls were in the other room, but it was all connected. But then sophomore year, we all had our own rooms. And I feel like that kind of caused us to maybe isolate ourselves a little bit more. Like we were forced to all hang out. We didn't have a living room or anything in the dorms versus when we were in our apartments. We would just stay on campus, our rooms and then we'd walk over to the other person's room, whatever. But no, I really liked it freshman year. I think I really got out of my shell. I was on one of my friend's boats. We were on the boat in Lake Boca,
rough college life.
At the beach on a Wednesday.
I was in Iowa.
Exploring we would do day trips to Miami and walk around South Beach and just, I mean, I definitely ran through a lot of money, but I did. Freshman year, even sophomore year, I didn't do a lot of the clubs. I would obviously go to the club sometimes or the bars, but not as much as these other people because one, it's so expensive, and two, it's kind of scary around there. It gets kind of disgusting. And I also wanted to prioritize my academics. I didn't go to FAU to go out to the nightclubs.
Well, some students
I went there to also get my degree. And that's money that costs money. But no, I did more of spending my money towards experiences like day trips to Miami and
you start cooking more too. So
traveling, going on walks on this trail behind my apartment. So moving honestly went pretty good for me. There were times where I did feel a little bit alone and a little bit homesick because
I came to visit a lot of this condo. I came to visit a lot.
So I could show her around. But then I met my best friend Ison Kennedy, and that was a blessing. So they kind of
I will always remember one time I came to visit, and we were driving out of here, going somewhere, maybe visiting another place. I can't remember. And you and I cried. I remember we were just past mm-hmm. the bridge here. And you said, I'm so glad I'm here. And then it was very rare because I experienced this too, but, or even your sister, I'm not even sure your older sister figured it out yet, but as a freshman and you turn around and you said, yeah, I'm very happy here. I think I found my place. I mm-hmm. think this is where I belong. And I mean, I remember crying, like, oh, great. Now my mom's crying. And I was like, no, as a mom, it's absolutely like, that's what you want. You want your kid to find themselves and be happy. And I could tell, yes, everybody feels I'm your mom. And I sometimes feel still homesick. And I haven't lived. We figured when I moved down here in the United States, in Florida, I had lived in my lifespan longer in the United States than I lived in Canada. Mm-hmm. So now I guess we're all know my age because I moved at the age of 21. And so it's just kind of unbelievable. The thing I'm like, we're all dual citizen, but I'm always still like, oh yeah, I'm from Montreal, but technically like I've lived here longer.
You're more American.
I'm more American than I am Canadian, but no, I'm not. But you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I know you were homesick once in a while, but to see you just like, I don't know, blossom. I'm just, I know it sounds cheesy, but as a mom, you see this with your kid. And it's just, so I'm just saying like, I don't think Isabella, my oldest one has figured out where she, I don't want to say belong, but let's just say she had a nice life at Jacksonville University, also by the beach.
Yeah.
A little bit further than you
She's
are,
also
but still.
A beach girl.
Big time.
And I think I matured and grew up and like found out like my morals and values, just found a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. So I think that move was really like a very good decision. And I mean, it's expensive in Florida. But I would love to settle here eventually for sure. South. Like I love the beach and I love Delray.
It's
so much.
It's our dream to move around there.
Yeah. Now. But I do like in my 20s want to travel around. So there'll be a lot of moving in my 20s, hopefully. That's
fine. And I'm not saying that it's not good to stay in your own bubble, you know, like because, you know, college is very expensive.
Yeah.
Clearly, we are Florida resident. You have in-state tuition. So I know it makes a big difference in some people's, you know, decision on where they're going to college or scholarships. Isabella had scholarships at that. But we were not resident here yet. But I think it's great by what I've done, what my cousin Audrey and Caroline did to be able to travel and visit. And yes, it's a lot of money and borrowing money to go to school, but the experience you get, the knowledge that you get, it helps you grow.
And you really, you learn a lot about yourself.
Yes. And just to figure out like maybe where you really want to go and really what you want to do later on and say, I want to do this. And then this is what I want, or I want to start over there and this and that. It's just, if you have the opportunity, do it. But like I said, it's not cheap. It's not doable for everyone. Mm-hmm. But if you can.
Yeah, for sure. I would, if you have that opportunity, take it. I'm happy I did. I want to.
Clearly, I'm happy I did too, because you wouldn't be in this world.
Yep. I do want to continue traveling in my 20s and not really settle. I see a lot of videos about people saying like they don't regret it at all. Just not like settling in one place. And again, not like it's going to be expensive, so I need to start saving up some more. But
you're saving up. But I will say, and mark my words on that one, if you see us making an episode in Italy, it's because we have moved to Italy.
Yeah, we're not coming back.
I'm not coming back. I did it once.
We're
going
to open
back
up a coffee shop in Italy, and y'all are going to have to come visit there.
I was there when you were little. I remember this. You were in elementary school. Young. And I remember really talking to your grandma, my mom, and say, how can we make this work that we're not going back? And she's like, you can't do this. I'm like, no, really, seriously, I think I'm falling in love with this place. I mean, I've been lucky to travel a lot with my parents, but that place just grabbed my heart. I said, I have to live here. So I always say, like, if we travel to Italy, ain't coming back.
That's what I'm trying to figure out is, right now I'm looking at getting a like standard visitor's visa for 6 months, like post grad. And, but I don't know if you guys know like how to be able to get a place to stay, like, but with a standard visitor's visa. Cause I don't think a lot of people are like tenants or landlords would let you like rent.
Wait, Kavanaugh is probably watching this. Because she's our listener. She's our, subscriber in Toulouse, France.
Yeah.
She could answer all these questions for you.
Yeah.
So if you have questions too, like jot them down, give it to us and then
we'll ask her and we
can answer.
I'll probably do a whole episode on what I'm going to eventually decide to do post-grad, but I will be
season two.
Yeah. I will be exploring. And, if we're not in the same place, I've seen multiple podcasts of people being able to do like split screen, like
oh no, I'm traveling. Places. Oh no, I'm going.
But we
I'll do the weekend trip and come back.
But we will be continuing the podcast either way. So don't worry about that. If you guys are moving and you have any questions, let us know. We'll be happy to answer them.
It's not easy, but sometimes it's worth it. And then
it could be like the best decision of your life.
It's like, as of now, we've been here for 6 months about, things are starting to fall into place. It's just this condo is still a little bit like of the first domino to fall off and then to get everything else in place. But, it's not easy. I cried a lot, you know, myself to sleep. Did I make the right decision? Is it okay with my kids? Did I just screw everything up? This and that. It's hard to find a job and this and that. But I was not happy where I was at. So if I kind of see, I can compare, I think that in the end, probably in a year from now, I'll be like, well, wow.
It was all worth that stress. But so let us know if you guys like have any questions or I don't know, or trying to juggle on your decision. Like, we're happy to help. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We talked about a lot, honestly.
Review Captain's the coffee penis straw. From when we opened in the dark penis straw.
Yeah.
When we open our coffee
shop. Catherine Espresso. Next week, we'll actually have a coffee shop to review. And we end every episode with a would you rather. And I actually totally forgot. I don't even remember what it was.
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Okay. Yes, I have it here. So, would you rather spend a week in the woods without a tent or a night in a real haunted house?
Okay, well,
neither.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do either. But I think I got the power of Jesus with me. So, I would do the haunted house and just be constantly praying. Because in the woods, like, bro, there's animals and there's, like, that's just, like, a setup for an actual, like, thriller movie. Like, I'm going to get killed out there. And, like, at least the haunted house has, like, some, hopefully, food in the fridge or, like, I can cook something. And, yeah, I think I'd go insane out in the woods. And there's spiders. I'm more scared of spiders than ghosts, so,
yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go to the haunted house.
You come in peace. You'll have to say that to the ghost.
I'll come in peace, yeah. I come in peace. It was just a would you rather, please. Spare me.
Because she, and I kind of picked that question, too, because for your birthday on June 10th, there is this,
it's called the Axe Murderer House or whatever.
In Iowa. And then you can actually go sleep there. It's like a sort of a bed and breakfast throughout the year. But on June 10th, the evening of June 10th, that's when the massacre happened. And it's still unresolved. It's still unresolved.
This unknown murderer came and like killed the family with an axe and they don't know who did it.
This poor little girl, I think her name was Catherine.
She literally looks like me.
Yeah. And she was murdered there, but she was there as a guest. So she was the friends of the little girl. And so you guys can look this thing up and you cannot rent a room for the 10th for I think years and years in advance.
Everybody wants to stay there on the night they're murdered.
It's haunted, clearly. And you wanted to be like, well, I'm going.
I don't know why
I'm not
that,
going.
Because I know that like I would chicken out like last minute. I'd be like, nope.
But so that's where the question
That's
came
our would you rather. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Go follow us on Instagram at acoffee.break. TikTok at acoffee_break and subscribe on YouTube, A Coffee Break with Cat and Mom. And our video podcasts are on Spotify and YouTube. Episodes out every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And go subscribe, leave comments. We love you guys. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.